Our speaker this morning is Brandon Hanks. So Brandon is the executive director of Netzer. So Netzer is a local organization. It serves local ministries across southeastern Pennsylvania in a variety of ways, but you know, ultimately trying to build capacity, pour into various leaders to spread the gospel across Pennsylvania. So Brandon serves as the executive director of Netzer, and he also serves as a regional pastor and traveling minister of the gospel, where he provides care, he helps build relationships and connections, and he helps coach congregations and pastors across Netzer's network in Pennsylvania. So we are happy to have Brandon here today. Brandon, I will welcome you up. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Good morning. So glad to be with you here today, Coventry Church. This morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'm going to be sharing from the New Living Translation. One of the things I think that is a real joy is to be able to not only be able to travel to different churches and to begin to experience the body of Christ in its many different forms and its great variety, but also I think we get to experience that anytime we open up the scriptures together and we get to read from a different translation. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke 11. Again, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. The scripture reads this way, starting in verse 1. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying. As he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said, "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation." Join me as we pray. God, it's such a joy to be in your presence, to be in the presence of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we're so humbled by you, by not just your presence, but the fact of who you are, God. You are an incredible God. And the fact that you spoke the world into existence, God, the fact that you created the cosmos and the universe, God, and then you choose to relate to us, that you choose to reveal yourself to us, that you choose to make a way that we can walk with you. God, you are incredible. And so this morning, God, as we spend some time meditating on these words, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to know you. Help us to glorify you. Help us, Lord, to draw near to you. Because, Lord, you are our Father. And we pray this in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Well, today's Father's Day, and so happy Father's Day to all the dads that are here. It's one of those great times for us not just to honor earthly fathers, but also to honor the spiritual fathers in our life, those that have passed along the faith from generation to generation. And so as I'm sharing here today, just one quick caveat is that, can I call you church family? Is that okay? Because we are family in Jesus, right? So I might respond, okay, church family, do you hear me, church family? And the second thing I'll say is that sometimes I'll respond in such a way, and so feel free to jump in and say amen or any of those things. You don't have to be quiet for me. You're not going to interrupt me when I'm sharing from God's word, if that's helpful to you. But when I think about Father's Day, one of the things I think about is the tension that we also experience around Father's Day, because Father's Day isn't just a celebration, is it? We can honor fathers, but it's also a time for those who have lost fathers, fathers that aren't here. It's also a time for maybe our relationship with our dad isn't what we wanted it to be. Or if you're a father, your relationship with your own kids is not what you want it to be. And so it's one of those days that it's easy for us, I think, in our culture to kind of celebrate Father's Day and say, oh, this should be a happy day. And it should be, but it's also a day that's full of grief, too. And I'm reminded of what the scripture says. It says that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we are to weep with those who weep. And so holidays like this are a great time for us to just remember that we can't all celebrate in the same way today, right? Amen? And some of us are hurting today, and so for us also to weep with those who weep, to be identified that as the people of God, as the church, that we have this dual tension of both rejoicing and weeping. And it's good, right? It's good. And so Father's Day is one of those days that tends to be that way for us. But this morning, I want to talk a little bit about, from Luke 11, about prayer. And what I want to focus on when it comes to prayer is the idea that prayer is much more than communication with God. We know that communication is not just one way, two ways, amen? Right? We're not just talking at God, we're also listening to God too, right? This is part of prayer, but it's even more than that. Prayer is really a picture of a relationship with God. It's the way in which we enact our relationship with God. It's the way in which we walk in healthy ways in our relationship with God. And so it's important to view our prayer life or our rhythms around prayer or even just how we pray, to see those as windows into our relationship with God. I don't know if anybody's thought of that before, but our prayer lives are very much that. They're windows into our relationship with God. And I want you to think about any other relationship we have. You think about your relationship if you're married to your spouse, or you think about your relationship to a best friend. Those relationships require two primary things. They require what? Communication and presence, right? You got to show up once in a while, right? For those relationships to be healthy, for them to work, you can't not talk to each other, and you can't not see each other. You need to be actively involved in each other's lives. And so how much more when it comes to our relationship with God, right? How much more should we be seeking him? How much more should we be calling out to him? How much more should we be listening to him and choosing to acknowledge him in our lives? This is what prayer is all about. An important part of how we relate to God is how we view God. And that's where I want to focus this morning's message around, is that depending on how we see God, that's how we're going to relate to him. When you think about all the different names, all the different titles we could use for God, each of those titles, each of those names signify a way in which we can relate to God. So when we say that God is Lord, right, that's not just a nice title. It means that he is the sovereign God over all of creation, and he's sovereign and Lord over my life, right? So this is where Jesus says, like, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but not do what I say, right? These titles, these names, these descriptions of God are really important to how we relate to God. And so I don't know if you've taken inventory lately, but maybe this week would be good for you to think about, what are the common names and ways I refer to God when I pray? We all have our common ones, right? We all have ones that we tend to use. But the scriptures are full of titles of God because he's not just Lord, right? He's not just a father, right? He's also judge. He's also love. He's also these other attributes, these other names and titles. And so it'd be good for us to focus on that. But when you think about your relationship with God, what first comes to mind? When you think about when you go to him in prayer, what first comes to your mind when you're about to say a prayer to him? What are you saying? What are you not saying to God? We all know this in relationships. Relationships are not just what you say, it's also what you don't say. Amen? So when you're in spending time with the Lord, what are you saying to him and what are you not saying to him? How do you tend to address him? These are important questions for us. And what we see from Luke 11 is that Jesus invites us not only to pray more by his example and his teaching, but to relate to God more personally than I think at times we're comfortable with. The idea of God as a father should make us a little uncomfortable, right? It should, on some levels, be like, oh, it's great that I have a God who is also fatherly, that is a father. But what does it mean that the one who spoke the world into existence is also a father? What does it mean the one who's going to judge the living and the dead is also a father, right? It should both make us comfortable and, I would say, a little uncomfortable, right? And depending on our human relationships, and particularly our relationship with our dad, it can get a little complicated when it comes to God, can it? I mean, our earthly experiences around fathering certainly play into how we view God. I don't know if you realize that. But if you had a great dad, it might feel a little easier for you to be able to call God as father. But if your father wasn't a great dad, it might be a little weird for you to call God father. You might have some hurdles to jump over to see that and to be able to say those things. But let's go back to the text in Luke 11. It says here in verse 1 that once Jesus was in a certain place praying. Now, I want you to note here in verse 1 that Jesus didn't just pray at one time in one place. Amen? We know from the scriptures that Jesus prayed often. We know that from Luke 5:16, just earlier in Luke's gospel. It says, but when Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Or a little bit later in Jesus' life in John 11, he says, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. Jesus regularly spent time with his Father. And I think that's incredible, right? That Jesus did that. Jesus is not just the Son of God, he's also God in flesh. And the fact that he spent time praying to the Father, how much more you and me, right? How much more me and you need to spend time with the Lord in that way? But he prayed to the Father. And so we see that even in this text, that at this point when he's praying to his Father, that out of this time of prayer, the scripture says that as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So in this place of prayer, when he finished, a disciple came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about the disciples all through the gospel narratives, how many times did they get it right? Right? Not very often, right? Even in, just if you turn back to Luke 9, you know, they're up on the Mount Transfiguration, and what does Peter say? We should build some tents here and we should hang out. Like, let's not leave this place. Does Jesus stay up on the mountain? No, he does not. He goes down, right? Or I think about not too long after that, you know, there are some people that didn't welcome Jesus. And what do the disciples say? Some of the disciples say, let's call fire down from heaven, right? And on and on and on. All through the scriptures, we see that the disciples didn't get it right. But here in Luke 11, this disciple got this right. It's one prayer that we should be regularly asking the Lord. Lord, can you please teach us to pray? You know, when I think about the church and I think about all my experience in the church as growing up, as a young man, and even now, you know, prayer is one of those things that we all know we should do. But how often do we receive training in prayer? How often do we sit with even the Lord and say, Lord, teach me how to pray? I don't know about you, but if you're like me, is that I just make some assumptions when I pray. Is that you here today? I just assume I know what I'm doing when it comes to prayer. And the longer I've walked with the Lord, the more I realize I don't know what I'm doing with prayer, and I need the Lord to help me to even know how to pray, to what to pray for. But the disciples did a good thing here. This disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so Jesus then begins to teach them how to pray. In Luke's gospel, if you were to compare this to Matthew's gospel, obviously this is the Lord's Prayer, and this is a shortened version of what Matthew recalls here. But it's important that Jesus gave them a framework and gave us a framework of what kinds of things we should be praying about. This framework, I don't think, is by accident. I think this is totally inspired by the Spirit of God. It's a great framework for us. For those of us that have been in the church for any length of time, we could probably all say the Lord's Prayer together, couldn't we, right now, if I asked you to. We know the words, we know what you're saying, but do we understand each of those elements? And I think even more importantly, in the Lord's Prayer, do we see what it says about God? Do we see what Jesus is actually revealing about the Father? So in verse 2, Jesus says this in response to this request, this is how you should pray. And guess what he calls God? Father. That's how he begins the prayer, Father. When I think about that, this is incredible that Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray the way he prayed. He prayed to not just God in heaven, not just Lord, not just Master. He prayed to the Father. And this is important that Jesus is not just teaching this, that we know that when Jesus went to the cross and after he died on the cross for our sins and he triumphantly rose from the dead and he ascended to the Father, we know that that whole work of God, this good news, this gospel that we all love and we all appreciate what God's done for us, is that that wasn't just making sure our names are written in the book of life. It was also opening the door for us to be able to relate to God in prayer. I don't know if you realize this today, church family, but you and I can pray because Jesus died on our behalf. And the fact that he died on our behalf and we have his righteousness, God not only hears our prayers, but he's willing to listen to our requests. He's willing to respond to our requests because we're not just a bunch of sinners in the room. What are we? We are beloved children of God. That when we place our faith in Christ, we become children of God. And so therefore, we can then say to God, Father, not just simply as an extension of faith, but because that's who he is to us, isn't he? He's actually a father. He's actually brought us into the family of God. And this is what I love about this first description of God as being a father, is that he brought us into a family where he is dad. And how amazing is that we get to pray, Father? The one who created the heavens and the earth, we get to call Father. I want you to just chew on that for just one moment. But we see then in verse 2, this latter request is, Father, may your name be kept holy. It's important that we understand that God, the Father, is not like any other father. He's not like any other father. I don't care how great your dad was, he's not the Father in heaven. And praise God, if you had a dad like that, that is such a gift, isn't it? If you had an amazing dad that showed the love of the Father through his love, that's such an incredible gift. But he's not God in heaven. He is not perfect, right? He is still an imperfect person that need to be redeemed by Christ too. But when we talk about God being our Father, he is completely different. He is holy. He is other. I love what A.W. Tozer talks about holiness. This is what he says about God. Holy is the way God is. To be holy, he does not conform to a standard. He is that standard. So whatever God is, and whatever it means for him to be holy, he's the standard of that. He is completely other. He is distinct. So again, when we think about our own relationships with our dad, we must be careful that we don't project our experience of our earthly father onto our heavenly father. Because he is very, very different. He is so different. And so again, this is wonderful news for us. Depending on what your relationship like was with your dad, you have a father in heaven. Church family, you have a father who is in heaven. And this is an incredible gift that we get to call him Father. We see in Matthew's gospel as well as Luke's gospel here later in chapter 11, but Jesus is teaching as he'll continue. He says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? That's from Matthew's gospel. Because he's a father. And we, even the best of us that think we're pretty good dads, we're still sinful. We're still broken men. But the Father is not. He has good gifts for us. Amen. Now, we talk about God being a holy father. One of the things we're going to see from this progression in the Lord's Prayer is that each of these requests are exposing something, not just about who God is, but they're revealing something about us. And here's what it is, and this is the place I think we most struggle when it comes to prayer, is that it exposes that we're dependent people. I don't know about you, but I like being independent. Anybody with me? I like being able to rule my own life. I don't like asking for help. I love it when I can just do what I need to do, right? But the Lord's Prayer is reminding us that we're actually a dependent people. We're dependent on God. I would say we're also dependent on one another as well as you look through the rest of scriptures. But in this case, when it comes to the Lord's Prayer, prayer is a picture of dependency on God. And so with each of these requests, what Jesus is saying about the Father is that we're dependent, church. We need God to show up. We need God to work in our lives. And if you feel like you're a mess and you feel like you're a needy person before God, that's a good thing. If you and I feel like we have it together, that's not a good thing. Because one of the things that happens when we draw near to the Lord in prayer is we realize how needy we actually are. And if you're a dad and or a parent, you know how this is. The kids bring this out of us the best. They make us realize how much we're not who we think we are, right? Realize we're not as spiritual as we thought we were, right? We actually need God the Father to show up in our lives. But this Holy Father, it says in the second part of verse 2, the request is, may your kingdom come soon. Right? We recognize that we want to see the kingdom of God. We recognize this world is not the kingdom of God, but we want to see the kingdom of God fully manifested in our time and day. We want to see what it's like for the world to look like when the Lord is actually king and honored as king. It exposes that God is someone who reigns, that he's actually ruler, he's actually king. So this Father who we call as holy is also king. But he's not just king, he's also one who provides. This is the next request. Give us each day the food we need, or in some of your translation, give us today our daily bread. In other words, that God is also the provider. He's our provider. So he's not just a distant God who we can call Father. He's one who's intimately involved, even to the place where we can ask him for daily food. And for those of us here, obviously, for many of us, we don't experience the struggle with wondering where our next meal is going to come from, right? But in their context, this was a big deal. They need to pray for their next meal. They needed God to show up like that. It was such a picture of dependency. Again, how much for us, when we view God, do we realize that he's the provider and that anything that we need, we can just go to him and say, Lord, I need this kind of daily bread today. Lord, I need patience today. Lord, I need your love as I love people today. Lord, I need a car. Lord, I need gas in my gas tank, right? These are all very practical things, but do you realize that that Father, the Father that's in heaven, you can make those requests to him because he is the Heavenly Father who provides. But he's not just one who provides that way, he's also one who forgives. And this is the one that I think we wrestle with, but we see in this verse 4, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, that the Father is also the sin forgiver. He forgives our sins. How many people are thankful they're forgiven today, right? So thankful that the Lord forgives us. But remind us when it comes to prayer that we need to continually come to him to request forgiveness for our sins. That we're not going to wake up one day, apart from seeing him face to face in our new bodies, without sin. We're going to have sin that we're going to need to talk to our Father about. And this is part of what's uncomfortable about it. Because I think sometimes we like to, when we sin or when we're struggling in sin, we want to see God as a judge. And sometimes we're more comfortable with that. But what if he's a loving Father and we sinned against him and we grieved his heart? How much different do we feel about our sin? That we actually have this relationship with God and it's so intimate and so personal that even the smallest infraction, even the smallest place of transgression before God, we're like, I just broke my Father's heart. Do we view sin like that when we pray? But he's the God who forgives us our sin. And it's such an amazing thing. And the expectation is that we also forgive those who sin against us. Another hard one, amen? Right? But it's real hard to give what you haven't received, isn't it? So if we're walking in the forgiveness God's given with us, he will help us to forgive one another. So he's not just the Holy Father who reigns. He's not just the Holy Father who provides. He's not just the Holy Father who forgives. He's also the Holy Father who leads us. In the NLT, it translates it this way, don't let us yield to temptation, or deliver us from evil, or deliver us from temptation, depending on your translations. The idea is that we're going to face temptation and we're asking God to empower us, the Father to help us, that we would not yield when temptation comes, because it's going to come. That we're asking him to lead our lives, that when we're found in those places, that the Father would help us, that we could cry out to him and say, Lord, I'm tempted right now. I need you to help me. Please, Lord, please. These are the pictures of God, who is a Father, who is a ruler, who is a provider, who is a sin forgiver, and who is our leader. But why then, if these things are all true, do we struggle with prayer? Why is it that I rarely have found anyone who said that they are an expert prayer person, that they pray all the time and they're exactly where they need to be in prayer? Some of the most gifted and graced people and mature people in prayer are people that recognize how much more they need to learn about prayer. That's what I've found. So why is it that this is such a struggle for us? I think it's for one of two reasons, and this is where I want to land the plane this morning. I think it's for one of two reasons. One is I think it's back to that independent stuff, is that we don't want to say it, but essentially what we're saying is that we don't need a Father. We can do this ourselves. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. I can think through this. I have the strength to handle this situation. Anybody struggle with that? Right? That we have this independent spirit that we want to work independent from God. But what we're missing is that what we're actually saying is that, Father, we don't need you to be our Father. When we don't pray, we're saying we don't need your fathering love. We don't need your fathering leadership. We don't need your fatherly wisdom. So I think independence is one. I think the other one, which is at the other side, is I think we just have an unbelief that God is really that good of a father. That we really struggle to believe that God is that faithful, that he's that compassionate, that he's that good of a father. That's why I think we don't pray. Otherwise, why wouldn't we go to him all the time about everything? I remember a number of years ago, I was walking with my daughter and we were talking about prayer. And she said to me, reflection on this, but we were talking about prayer. And she said something to the effect of that, I don't understand why prayer is so hard. She's like, what can't we talk to God about? And I'm like, that's very true. So is it that I have more confidence in myself or you have more confidence in yourself? Or is it that you're failing to see and don't really believe that God's a father? We can talk to about anything, and we should talk about everything. I think about what Psalm 145:8 says, the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. I think about also what Hebrews 11:6 says, that it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. This is the whole emphasis of prayer, is that we have to actually believe that God is who he says he is. Otherwise, why would we pray, right? Why would we pray the Lord's Prayer unless we really believe that God is a father, that he really cares about us? So I think on these two points, it's why we struggle to approach God boldly. I think it's the reason why we struggle to be persistent in prayer at times, that we don't keep asking because we start to believe that maybe God isn't as good as we thought he was. Or maybe God isn't listening. Or you know what, God, I prayed enough about this. I'm going to go take things into my hands. Anybody done that before? You know what I mean? Like, God, I've talked to you enough about this. If you're not going to show up, I'm going to go ahead and do some things, right? I think it's also why we just don't trust that God actually has better gifts for us, church. They're really good things that God has for us. But the question is, are we asking for them? Are we seeking him? So where you sit today, church family, how would you describe your prayer life right now? Would you describe it as formal or informal? Would you describe it as rigid or would you say it's relational? Would you say your relationship with God is distant or would you say it's personal? Would you say it's strong or is it weak? Is it faithful or is it struggling? Is it deep or is it shallow? Is it growing or is it stagnant? Do you have a lot of one-way communication or is there two-way communication happening in your relationship with God? I think maybe to put a finer point on it, would you describe your prayer life as a duty or as a delight? Is it a delight to spend time with God or does it feel like a duty? Whatever your relationship with God is like today, and wherever I find myself today with the Lord, the good news is it can be different. And the good news is that there's more, church. There's more. There's more available to us. That God is only one prayer away. This is the thing that's most incredible about the grace and mercy of God. We can spend all of our days running from God. We can spend our days being independent from God. We can spend our days not believing God for who he is. But just in one moment, you and I can turn to God in prayer and everything can change. Everything can change about our relationship with God. When I think about what Jesus has done for us, he's opened the door for us to know and relate to God as the Father. And as we read earlier from the psalmist, that God is a father to the fatherless. He's a father to the fatherless. So if you're sitting there saying, like, I don't know what it's like to have a dad, God is a father to the fatherless. And he is holy. He is unlike any father we've ever known. He is so different, so different. But he's also really close and really available. I want to share these words from Psalm 27 as I close. Listen to this prayer. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You've always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. And then the psalmist concludes, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. What an incredible psalm. So I want to invite the worship team to come up, and I just want to take a few moments to pray for us. Join with me as we pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you made a way. We thank you, Lord, that you opened up the door for us to know God the Father, to know him as a Father. Father, help us believe that you really are a Father. Help us take you at your word. Help us, Lord, to not be so independent with our lives that we would think that so much of what's happening around us, that so much of what's happening in our world that we can control, that we can fix, that God, that we would continually return to this place to recognize that we are actually helpless. There's a reason why you talk about in the scriptures that we are like sheep. It's because, God, we are dependent, needy creatures. Help us, Lord, not run from that, but rather run to you, confessing that we're needy sheep and that, God, you are our Father and we need you to be king of our lives. We need you, God, to be our provider. We need you, God, to be the one who forgives our sins daily. We need you, God, to lead our lives and to lead us out of places of temptation, God. That, God, we are in so much need of you. Forgive us, Lord, for our self-dependence, our self-reliance. Forgive us, Lord, for our unbelief that, God, that we just don't run to you, but we stay back from you. That we don't see the great love in which you have for us, Father. That while running, rather than running to your love and to your embrace, God, we rather stay in our sin. We rather be stuck somewhere else. God, forgive us. Have mercy on us today. And Lord, for us, I pray that as your church, that you would continue to give us greater faith to come boldly before you and to come persistently with our requests and with our needs before you, God, to recognize you for who you are, that we would just keep coming back to you and back to you again because we know that you are our Father who cares for us, God. And we also have this petition too, Lord. Teach us how to pray. When we sit with so many of our needs in our life, God, we don't even know at times what to say to you. Help us in those moments to just ask you to lead us in prayer, to lead us by your Spirit in how to pray. And help us be okay with, Lord, not having to have that really nice, nicely packaged prayer request, but just to say, Father, I need you. Dad, I need you right now. This is too hard. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how to fix this situation, God. Help us be the kind of people that are really dependent and not dependent with shame, but dependent and proud and confident because we know we're dependent. We know, God, that we need you. And so we don't feel any shame about it. We know you've made us to be limited creatures. You made us that way, God, in your glorious image. And we're not just limited, God, but we also have our sin. We just also have the places, God, where we don't honor you, where we don't listen to you, where we're stubborn and we're dumb sheep sometimes, and we go our own way. To recognize, God, that we really, really need you. And so would you help us? I pray just over this congregation, Coventry Church. I thank you, Lord, that this is a church that prays, that knows how to seek you and pray. I pray that there'd even be an increase of faith when it comes to prayer. I pray that there would be an increase, God, of seeing you as a Father to them, that especially in this season when Pastor Mark is on sabbatical and they don't get to see their dear brother shepherd and lead in the ways they typically does, that they would recognize that you're not only the chief shepherd, but you're a father that knows how to provide. That even during the season of sabbatical, that you have good things in store for Coventry Church. And that God, that they would not shrink back from receiving all that you have for them during this time. But rather than resting or sitting back, that they would just draw near to you. And that their hearts would just be continually inclined to say, Lord, Lord, we're here, we're listening. We're here for you. Thank you, Lord, that you are always faithful, even when we're faithless. And thank you, Lord, that you know how to lead us and you know what we need exactly when we need it. Help us to trust not just your good gifts, but your good timing. Help us to trust that even when we're praying and we're making requests, and those requests are things that we prayed about not just for weeks and for months, but we've been praying those things for years, God, that your timing, Father, is a good timing. That, Lord, you know what you're doing, even if we don't. Help us trust you today. And we just thank you, Lord, that your Spirit lives inside of us to help us pray. Just like Paul says in Romans 8, we don't even know what to ask for or how to pray. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your intercession. And thank you for your help, Spirit. How we need you, Father, Son, and Spirit. How we need you, Triune God. We love you. We worship you, and we thank you, Lord. It's in your great name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.